You weren't allowed to take a picture. You couldn't take a picture. We got on the ferry. We're out on the water, and the Capitol is on the other side of the fish or fish market. And they said, you know, we went. Somebody, one of the gentlemen that was with us, went and got asked permission if we could take a picture. And they said, you can take a picture that way, but you can't take a picture that way, because they're so paranoid about terrorists. It was very, very interesting. But while we're waiting, because our driver wanted us to go on that ferry, go to one side, get to see it, and come back. And another man came over and stood with us, a very nice man. And the man that was with us, I mean, he wasn't out to get money from us. That wasn't his thing. Our driver had already been paid to do what he did. Henry has found this service in all these countries that I go to that they're connected in Africa. And so there's such a accountability that, you know, you get in a taxi over there, you know, local taxi, you may not make your destination. Is the warnings when you get online. Don't take their taxis, you know, enlist the hotel to pick you up, whatever, because it's not safe. And so, I mean, this guy was standing there, and our driver, he just took some money out of his pocket. Somebody was going around, a vendor, and selling, what was it? Was it peanuts?
Little peanuts, about 10 peanuts in a
plastic bag, just 10 peanuts. And he just pulls some money out, and he says, give me 5 or 6 of them. And he gave Sarah and I one, then he turned around, and he looked at a couple people, somebody in a wheelchair, he gave it to them, gave it to somebody that was pushing him, and there's this guy standing there, and he gave it to him. Next thing you know, they're all shaking hands and real friendly to each other. I found out they're Christians. All of them are Christians. And so that guy kind of stayed with us, the other guy, and went on the ferry with us. And I mean, we just had an enjoyable time with two men that were walking in absolute integrity. They'd never met each other before. By the time we were done, I mean, they were hugging, they were shaking hands, they were going to connect. They were going to get back to each other. And that other guy worked for the government on a high level, and he owned property on the other side, and he was just going over to check it. Very, very nice man. And so we'd have those divine appointments where we get to pray for him, bless him. You know, we get to watch him wiggle and slide on the floor or slide in the seat or fall against the wall or whatever, because God is faithful. Amen? He's faithful. Are you faithful? Do you know when you put your hand on somebody for God and you get out of the way, the anointing flies? And it's to God's glory. Amen? That's our God. Amen? When we ask a lot from God, do you ask much from God? Yes. Have you ever asked much from God? Yes. He says, ask me more. Yes. And then he says again, ask me much more. Amen? Much more. So when you talk to God, can I have much more? And then wait for it to just rest on you and bless you. Amen? Maybe he has given it to you, but you missed it. How many people say, I want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it stops there? You know, it just stops right there because it takes belief to know what God is doing. You can't see him. But after you believe, you start seeing the presence of God. You start seeing it in the people. You start seeing the Christians. You can start pointing them out. You can go through the airport and you can see them and start pointing them out. You can see their natures. I can walk in a bathroom or go in a restaurant or whatever or go into a hotel. This is not judging. I'll just turn around to Sarah and go, whoa, those are not good eyes. You look in their eyes and their eyes are so dark. So dark. I mean, our eyes are the window to our soul. And believe me, if you're in a bad mood, everybody knows it. You're making a face. But I'm telling you what, everybody knows you're in a bad mood. Amen? You're heartbroken. You're discouraged. You think, I'm just happy as I can be. I'm so happy. And everybody knows you're not happy. Amen? That have eyes to see. See, what God wants to do, if you believe it, this is God. Who's God? The God that endues us with power if we ask. I don't want power to control or bring attention on myself. That's not it. That is not it at all. I want the power to do what I can't do in myself to reach people's hearts. Amen? Less of me, more of you, God. Do what you want. Do what you want. You put those words in me that come out of me. I don't want to mix it up, Lord. I don't want to give a mixed message of my life. Amen? And you know that talk with God, when I started out, I was really awkward and I only met it half the time. Because when he requires of you, it's an ouch. So when you start asking him, you know, before I spoke, let me back up a little bit. Before I spoke, I wanted to be able to express a relationship with God that I have that you can have too. The only reason you might not have that relationship is because you're afraid, you don't believe, don't think you're worthy, whatever the excuse, you hold back. Amen? I'll tell you what, you got to get up to the what is that thing in baseball where you get ready to, you got to get up there, and I mean, you're not going to get up there and go, come on, Lord, give it to me. You're going to go, come on, Lord, give it to me. And as it comes, Lord, let me connect. Whack! Amen? Out of the park! Out of the park, and you just run with it, and run, and run, and run, until finally Lord says, that's okay, because as you're going around touching all those bases and touching all those people, and your feet are on the ground, and they're touching everything, the atmosphere changes, the hearts of the people, when you're touching them, it changes, and that's what you want to do. You want to get exuberant and excited and go whack, amen? Get in the game. When you came up here and dance, dance, don't. I wonder if anybody's watching me. Get up there and just let it go. And I'm telling you, if it's back, if it's feet, if it's your neck, it's whatever. Guess what? The next thing you know, it's gone. Amen? You got a headache. Dance before the Lord and watch what he'll do. He goes, oh, that one, trust me. I'm going to bless him. Even though they haven't asked me to heal their head right now, I'm going to bless them anyway. Because look at, they're availing themselves. Okay, if Nancy's up there doing it, I'll get up there. And I'm saying, God, bless them. Everyone that comes up, whatever their need is, bless them. Amen? We need to be, our minds need to be on everybody else, not on ourselves. Amen? We want to be his children. He says, come as children. Amen? And can you imagine this worship team up here? Some of them want to get down there in the pool. Some of them are going, look at them, wow. Wow, we helped make that happen, didn't we? Yes, you did. Amen? And not without much prayer. Right, Evelyn? Amen? Evelyn and I already talked about it. So, to go on, sometimes I want to give you this example, because as I was writing all this, it was like, tell them this, tell them. So if I'm getting too windy, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what he said to say. But let's say that at one of these events here this weekend, we have prayed for you for activation. We have prayed, and maybe one day it didn't work, but the next day you're just flopping and slobbing and drooling all over yourself in a chair. And then you eventually get up and go somewhere, and you're thinking, well, that didn't stick. Don't undermine God. Tomorrow morning, you may get up with fire in your belly. Fire, you're gonna think, oh my gosh, I remember what happened. That was God. That wasn't Nancy that did that. That was God. Heck, when God would send that anointing to you, and I knew it was going to be big because God would tell me, I'd have to get my feet ready. And the reason I had to do that is because I already knew you weren't going to take it all. And I didn't know how much was going to get to go in you and how much was going to flop back on me. And I had to be positioned because so many times I've been thrown across the room because you rejected it. Sometimes I'll go back and I'll go, come on, take a little bit more. I'm going around. And it's your anointing and I can't even talk. I'm going to try to go pray for somebody. Sarah will hold me up. She'll get me back to that person. Please take some more of this. This is all yours. Take some of it. And I have to be careful. So if I'm praying for Sharon, she has a special anointing that's designed just for her. But Kimberly has a different one. And I'll go, Lord, what would I say? Refresh me. Refresh me. refresh me. So that you're not getting her anointing. You're getting your own. Amen? I had to learn all those things as time went on. And I would ask him, if you ask God, he'll tell you. If you have ears to hear, you have to have ears to hear. You have to stop the stinking thinking and open your ears because he wants to talk to you. He's been talking to you ever since you became a Christian, but you can't hear him. Amen? You can't hear him because your mind's so busy. You're trying to finish what he's trying to tell you. And if you and how does he do that? How does that happen? He's trying to tell you something. Mary Sue, and you're going, oh, man, Mary Sue's really on my heart. He's going, Mary Sue, man, this is bothering me. I need to call Mary Sue. She's just on my heart. I don't know why. Mary Sue. But I can't go tonight. I'll go tomorrow. Mary Sue, you're even woke up in the night. How about Mary Sue? Who do you think's talking to you? Who does he think you may be the last resort? And I'm going to tell you something very ugly. She didn't go see Mary Sue. She didn't have the time. And about 3 days later, they found out that she died at her own hands. Listen, that's what God is doing. That's why he says in Isaiah 66, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. And he says, have I not just waved my hand and created all this? But the one thing I cannot do is build my own house. I need that place of rest. I need that place of rest. He comes into Achan, and he's like hovering. Where can I find my place of rest? I'm looking for Georgiana back there. And he hovers over her. And man, she's a sucker for him. And she goes and does it. She goes and does it. She's thinking, why am I doing this now? I think I heard the Lord tell me to do it. Amen? Because she has a contrite heart. She walks humbly and she trembles at his word. That's the qualifications for God to come and dwell in you. So if you're having some issues and some roadblocks, that's why. You're not humble. Pride's in the way. And believe me, we all have pride, and it's always the last to go. A contrite heart actually is the most compassionate heart because they've been there, they've done that, they've been broken, and they've rose up again. Amen? Jesus had a contrite heart. Look at how he was abused and how he suffered. Yet he still went to the cross. His compassion for me, he went to the cross. Amen? I personalize it. You should be personalizing it. He was crushed. He lost blood. He, you know, that thorn of crowns that went on his head and the thrashing by the flogging that he received. Amen? The mocking, the spitting, the tearing his beard and his hair out. I mean, I am never going to let that go because he did that for me. I am not going to say that was in vain for me. Amen? You know, he did it for you too. You have to decide if he did it in vain for you. He didn't do it in vain for me. My friends will tell me, man, when I go through something, it's like I'm on my face before God. Oh, God, I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to react like that. What is wrong with me? I know better. Amen? But that's also humility. Amen? And none of this in my patent on my back because it was a journey to get here. And I'm still not there. There's so much more. Amen? Amen. I thank God. I'm just a very simple woman, but I thank God that he loves to do supernatural things in this simple woman. Amen? Because it's more credible for you to believe. Amen? I'm not all tucked up and got it all together. I don't. And I rely on my friends as God has led me to do. Amen? Because when they're doing, they're growing. Amen? When they're involved in this, their notches on their gun belt are increasing. Amen? They're involved in deliverances and healings and counseling and encouraging. And they never know. They'll be walking through the room and somebody will see one of those leaders free and nail them. And they'll just turn around and just start ministering. That's my team. Amen? Praise God. But that endued power is what I desire more than anything. That's where the Holy Spirit comes on me and in me, and I let Him lead. Amen? I let Him lead. God is thrilled with us when we believe that we're walking in a new life in Christ Jesus. But don't stop at a satisfying area, because what God will tell you when you say, what's wrong? Why is everything not going good? And He'll go, because you stopped. Because you start doing your own thing. Your own thing. And that's a hard place to get out of. Amen? Amen? God wants to bring you to a place where you're not happy with the small things anymore. That you want more. Amen? That you're not willing to stop, that you'll keep moving. The answer to longevity is keep moving. Very simply, keep moving. No matter how painful it is, eventually God will show you, you can walk out of your pain. Because what breaks off of you is any doubt, any fear, any unforgiveness. All of those things begin to just fall off of you because you're a God lover. That's what He wants, you to be a God lover, because He loves you. He loved you before you were even born. Amen? He knew what was going to happen with you. Amen? But if you're happy and content where you're at, if you're happy and content where you're at, you're not going to grow anymore, and you're not going to be usable. Because I'll tell you what, the millennials are coming up, and they're looking at us as hypocrites, us that have been Christians, us that are sitting in the church, us that won't go out the doors, because that's exactly what we need to do. We need to demonstrate that light, the Word, that light that lights our path, to take that Word of life to the dark places. Amen? Because just as much as we're hiding in our churches, they're hiding in their dark places, and they don't have any hope. But we're sitting here in our hopelessness because we don't think we can do it. The pastor can do it. Nancy can do it. You know, Mark can do it. You follow what I'm saying? But God is saying, if you're satisfied where you're at, you're stuck. You're stuck. And God can change that. If you decide you don't want that, you're willing to be stretched, you're willing to be obedient, and I'll tell you, He will never give you any more than you can handle. Amen? And if your spouse is out there, if they don't like to let you go and do things, I'll tell you what, you talk to the Lord about it, He'll change your spouse's heart. Amen? He had to change my heart because I didn't want to go. I thought Henry would be the one that would go because he used to love to travel. Well, I had my traveling years when I was a kid, and I wanted to have security for my children. I wanted security for me. It was my house. That was my house. That was my dominion. Amen? But it wasn't Henry that God called. It wasn't Henry that God took to heaven to show me what's waiting for all of us and trust in me to convey it at the proper time. Convey what He requires of us, amen, to love Him. He just wants you to love Him. And by loving Him, you're taking care of His people. Amen? You're taking care of yourself. I'm almost done here. He wants you to enter His will. He wants you to learn to pray in the Spirit more. When you're having your prayer time, pray in the Spirit. Even Paul said that's what builds him up, praying in the Spirit. Amen? Acknowledging God has a great plan for you, sit still for a little bit and listen. Amen? And if you can't hear it, He's going to send a couple people like me to get in your face and go, hey, you need to start a Bible study in your home. How about you and your husband opening a Bible study in your home? Inviting a few friends to sharpen your teeth, to stretch you for what the next step is. Amen? what the next step is. See, we're not in this world to have a job and you know, die. We're in this world to be doing the kingdom work. And what would the Lord say to you when you come to heaven? And I've been saying this. The more you do here, the less you're going to be in the back of the bus. And what I mean by that is what you don't get here, because you're saved, but what you don't get here, you're going to be in heaven in beginner class. That's what I saw. I didn't see classrooms, don't get me wrong, but there are a lot of people that went to heaven on the shirt tail, just hung onto the shirt tail and barely made it. So they're not going to be seeing the Crystal City right away, is what I'm saying. They're going to be in the back of the bus. And they're going to get to go to heaven. That's what we need to be remarkable about, is they will get to go to heaven. But God has a plan. He's always had a plan, and you need to learn the plan. Amen? He created us when he was a part of this world from the beginning, and through all the different changes, you know, over in the Middle East to what's happening in America, and how we you know, when I was growing up, and what was out there about God in America is not there right now. The greatest thing that I've ever seen, and I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want to get into politics, but one of the greatest things that I was excited about is when 450 pastors in America started focusing and joined Donald Trump to pray for him and help him. And he did get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes. Praise God. So, he wants to do all things, and he wants you to do all things and do it well, and he will teach you. He gave me a picture of a church sleeping. A church sleeping. I said, Lord, what's this picture of the church sleeping? And he said, well, when they're not doing anything, because they're not doing their job. I loved a testimony that Sharon Rogers has shared a while back. After she first became a Christian, my understanding is she was somewhere where somebody was speaking. They were really putting a draw of a calling to do your job. She goes, job? I have a job? I didn't know I had a job. I need to know what my job is. I don't want to be wrong with God. What is my job? I love her innocence. I love it. And, I mean, she was sincere. What is our job? Get in the Word. You have a job to do. You're to be ministers of reconciliation. You're to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And you're going to do greater things than Jesus did. He said you will. You will. Amen? Got a little accent there. You will. So I'm trying to wake up the church. Maybe I'm a John the Baptist. I don't know. But God is saying, get them ready. Get them ready. Get them prepared. I don't know when he's coming back, but I'll tell you what, it's way closer than it was 2,000 years ago. That's what Mark's trying to do. That's what Carlos is trying to do. That's what Nancy Robinette is trying to do. I'm looking around the room. Tom, that's what he's trying to do. Sometimes he gets rejected what he's doing. That's what Evelyn is trying to do. Amen? That's what Nancy Haney's trying to do. Amen? Some of you in the room, how many of you are trying to do that? Bring the kingdom of heaven down on this earth. Raise your hand. Are you doing that? Praise God. Bless you. Lord, give them more. Give them more. You said give them more. Give them more in Jesus' name. If that's yours, grab it. Give them more. Grab it. Give them more. Grab it. Give them more. Grab it. Amen? That's what he's saying. Give them more if they want it. Yes, sweetheart, you got it. Amen. So awaken. Awaken, the Lord says, and know that I am God. Trust that I am God. Trust that I will be with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you. As my Son will never forsake you. The Holy Spirit will never forsake you. Amen? So it takes three to keep me lined up. Amen? So I see us like at a big banqueting table, and God has put everything out there imaginable and unimaginable. And the Lord says, taste and see, it's good. And you'll find where you fit and what it is you want to do. But he's not going to let you stay there. You'll hit a place where we go, okay, it's time to stretch some more. I want you to taste it, this over here. You spit it out when you first went through. But go back and taste it again because you're a little more mature. And your palate will accept it. Amen? Take everything at the table home with you. Take everything at the table home with you. Try it out. Put it in the refrigerator so it doesn't go stale. Till you're ready. And start tasting and seeing what is good that God has. That banqueting table is this word. Amen? It's this word. A great banqueting table. You know, I'm going to talk to you about power. This is where I am going to close, is about power. Remember when Jesus first got to back to Jerusalem, and they'd been over in Bethany or whatever, and they came over the hillside, and when they were coming down, they were getting ready to go in into the city of David where the temple was, and they saw this tree, and it was all green with foliage. And all of them were excited because they hadn't eaten, and they were going to get something to eat. But by the time they got up there, there wasn't a fig on that tree, not one. But it was out of season. The figs only come at certain times of the season. And there's nothing like figs in Israel. We're going to have figs, guys, the ones that are going with me. But fresh figs. But Jesus, he cursed that fig tree. He's like, why did you beat up on that poor little unknowing fig tree because he didn't produce fruit off season? You know, did that seem a little bit callous? What do you think the disciples thought? Gee whiz, he's got a temper. Yeah, he really had a temper because when he went into the temple, guess what he did? He started shaking the house. He got a whip, and he was whipping it at the Pharisees and saying, what are you doing in the house of God? You've turned it into a den of robbers. This is a house of prayer and healing. Amen? But before that, it was with the fig tree, and he cursed it, and they left. The next day, they came back again. And as they're getting closer, they realized something's wrong with that fig tree. As they got closer, the fig tree from the roots was dead. From the roots. And usually when a fig tree is going to, or any tree is going to die, it's on out here first. It dies going down to the roots. But from the roots up. And what God was doing through his son was teaching them the power of your words. That power is in you to curse somebody and destroy them to the roots up. That power is the power that when you speak life into somebody, they get life. But he wanted them, he said, God's in the mix here. God is good. He's in the mix because he wanted them to know the power of the tongue. You cursed it. You killed that tree. And he said, yes, the power in the tongue. Amen? I've told people that, you know, when we had that earthquake in Anchorage, that seven-pointer in Wasilla, Sarah lives out in Wasilla. It was not far from where her home is even at, but it was 25 miles deep. And that's what kept it from doing the major damage that it could have done up there because of all of our faults that are up there. What was I going to say about that? About the earthquake, huh? I can't remember what I was going to say, so I think it must be time. You know, when God lifts and you can't say anymore, don't fake it. Amen? I remember what I was going to say. I'll remember it when I get home. Oh, I know where I was going with that example. So, pray a lot. Spend time with the Lord privately in secret. By the way, the resources on the fig tree is Mark 11, whatever. But anyway, so God kind of told me what I needed to do here. So let me listen to the Lord for a minute. Any of you speak in tongues in this in here? Raise your hand. Good. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason he asked me to ask you that is because you have a prayer language. Not only can you talk to him verbally, like I'm talking right now, but you can pray in tongues, and I'll tell you what, the angels are right there. They're right there carrying the messages to God. God can hear it, but they carry the messages to God. Amen? And for some, anybody have the interpretation of tongues? Well, I was blessed when I got baptized in the, she does, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I spoke in three tongues, or three tongues, in 3 days I spoke in tongues, and I didn't even know what was going on. I hadn't been taught about tongues. And so when that happened in 3 days, it so surprised me that I ran down and got a tape recorder because Henry was working nights and I wanted him to hear. I didn't want him to think I was nuts. I'm telling him on the phone, no, I recorded it. It's a language. It's a language. You know. But anyway, I got the tape recorder and went down. I don't know why I did this, but I went down to the bathroom next to my girl's bedroom and I sat back down and I plugged the tape in. I wondered if I would get to do it again, but it just came right out. And I was praying, you know, just praying, and all of a sudden, it was like God turned the lights on, and I could hear my language in English. I mean, it's still tongues, I mean, when you listen to the recording, but I understood what was taking place, and then I realized there was another voice in there. It was the Holy Spirit, and he was interceding for me while I was speaking in tongues, and he is speaking in tongues, and I heard what he was saying. He said, Father, forgive her, for she knows not what she's done. Her heart has been broken, and she blames you for taking her daughter. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that. I'm telling you, I did not know that my heart was turning so hard that I'd just become a Christian. I haven't been a Christian very long. But my heart was so cold. It was a bad accident. I was riding a bike. She was on the carrier in the back. And this big double truck. And by the way, I've shared this enough that I think I can get through it without crying. But we were coming up C Street in Anchorage. And here come this big double-bellied dump truck. You know, the fancy brand new ones. And you're not allowed to ride on the sidewalk. You have to stay on the side of the street. You can't, you know, go up on the sidewalk. But he came alongside of me, and it was like, I mean, something bad was going to happen. And I turned my bike up to go up into the islet that you go up into the Chevron gas station. And as I started to go up, the bike flipped over. And we both went under that truck. Those tires, those giant tires. And Henry, I could hear Henry yelling at me. And I mean, I was knocked senseless. And I got my leg pinned underneath the bike. I mean, my leg was swollen out like that for probably 6 weeks before it really settled down. I didn't break it, though. I've never broken a bone, praise God. And anyway, I turned to get Jamie, and that guy put it in gear and ran right over her head. All over me. I had hair down to here. All over me. My baby was all over me. And what did I do? I pushed myself up, and I tried to run. I was running away from the mess. Because the bike's there, and part of her's still there. But the other part of her is on me and under the truck. And I'm telling you, all I could think about in my transparency to you tonight was all I could think about, this is payback. This is payback. That's all I could think of. It was payback. What do you think the payback was? I was raped at 18 years old. I was impregnated. And when I went to the doctor, he said, you need to abort this baby. The man that raped you was on so much drugs, acid, and that baby probably won't have body parts and whatever. You need to abort that baby. They just changed the laws in Alaska. He was pushing abortion. He'd been doing illegal abortions for I don't know how long. And I am not making any excuses here, but I'm telling you, I made a choice and it was 100% wrong. It was 100% wrong. Did God forgive me? Yes, he did. Just like David. That's why I love David. Amen. Amen. But all I could think of was payback. I killed your baby. You killed my baby. And that was in my heart. And I wouldn't talk to anybody about it. I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't grieve in front of anybody. I wouldn't cry in front of anybody. I didn't cry anyway. I was raised in a home. If you cried, you got knocked across the room. So I learned not to cry. When Henry met me, I did not cry. It didn't matter what it was. And if I was upset, we didn't agree on something, he wouldn't know it for a year. He wouldn't. Because I always thought I was wrong. And this was the biggest wrong thing, and I was wrong. But God does not punish like that. I had to learn because the angel was interceding to the Father, saying, forgive her. She knows not what she's done. She has blamed you and blamed herself. And I'll tell you what an eye-opener. Oh, what an eye-opener. Nobody could probably said that to me and I would have ever understood it like I understood it with the divine interference of God in my speaking in tongues. And ever since then, he's allowed me to interpret tongues. Yes. Ever since. And you know, sometimes when people speak in tongues, I ask God to turn it off so I don't hear it because I don't want to get in your business. Because some people are really phonies about their tongues and it gives them away. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You know, when a pastor says, somebody spoke in tongues, I need an interpretation. And he goes, no, it wasn't that one. They say, no, it wasn't that one. Someone else says, yeah, that might be it. What a bunch of garbage. And I'm sitting there, should I tell him what was really said? I have to be sensitive and know when I could speak and not speak. Amen. But just to assure you, I don't believe that today. He did not punish me. You want to know why? Because I repented within a week of it happening because I almost died. I almost died from it. It was a wrong kind of abortion, and I almost died. We didn't even have a hospital where we lived. I mean, I was in a clinic, you know, for a couple of days with IVs everywhere. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a stinker. He is a stinker. But when you put your heart in God, and after that day, I'm telling you, my life was changed. And then when he was looking for a candidate to take to heaven to get a view of what heaven really is about, he chose me. He chose me. I should have stayed dead on that operating table. They worked on me for 27 minutes. Trying to revive me because my heart stopped. And I mean, they knew something happened because they brought me back. My doctor says, Nancy, you got to tell me what happened. Did you have a life after death experience? I said, I did. I did. But I'll tell you what, you talk about being afraid to tell anybody so they wouldn't think you were a wacko. And I saw my baby. And I also saw Jamie. Jamie's the one that died in the truck. That was her name. But the abortion, his name was Alan, and he was a boy. And I got to see him. Listen, I'm telling you, there's so much that you've got to know if you seek his face so you can understand him. And you'll know you're not crazy. You're not going crazy. It's the infinite blessings and love of God for us. Amen? Amen? Please don't judge me. I did get transparent. Amen? But God, amen?